السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رآ من آيات ربه الكبرى. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, many, many times you have already heard the incident of Mi'raj, what happened in that particular night. And I will be honest that there are many subjects on which I cannot speak for more than 5 minutes. Or some subjects I cannot speak at all. If you ask me about engineering and such kind of subjects, then I won't be able to speak anything. For if I have to say something and if somebody has to construct a building upon my advices, then it will collapse before he has completed the building. Because that is not my field. And it is not necessary that every person must know everything. It is not possible for every person to know everything. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got different fields, different people specialize in those fields. Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, if I am not mistaken, once he announced in the Haram Sharif that if anybody has any question, then he may ask. I will reply to all questions. So one person got up and he said, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, the sixth Hajj which he made, what was his barber's name when he shaved his hair? When he shaved his hair in the sixth Hajj, what was the barber's name? So I said, no, boy, I can't answer everything. So every person cannot know everything. Who is going to know the name of the barber who shaved his hair in his sixth Hajj? We don't know in our first Hajj who shaved our hair. Nevertheless, even if it is our field, then too there are certain subjects that we cannot speak much on. But this incident of Mi'raj, with the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, not bragging, no pride, but with the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his karam, his ihsan, I can say that inshallah, if I have to speak the whole night, I can go on till fajr time. Because there are so many things. Each topic, you can extend it as much as you want. But neither do you have the strength to sit till fajr time, and nor do I have the strength. Therefore, we will try and condense it in the 1 hour that has been announced. Now, what can you say in 1 hour? But we will give you the gist again. And it is for no other purpose but just to refreshen our memories, just to see how much difference did our life change, or how much difference did it make to our life after listening to the last bayan. If we were not making namaz at that time, have we started making namaz now? If we were speaking lies at that time and we heard the hadiths about lies, then what change did come upon in our lives? And if we were indulging in the taking of interest or other sins, the punishment of which was shown to Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the night of Mi'raj, then have we given up those sins? If we haven't, then we listen again and we try to implement it in our lives. We try to make amal on it. Because that is the only department that is lacking now, the department of amal. As far as speeches, bayans, was concerned, plentiful we have heard. But the department of amal, we are weak. again, this Jummah time, I mentioned that there are some places where they are not having a program tonight. And I'm getting phone calls that we are not having a program on Mi'raj. Yet our grandfathers, great-grandfathers, everybody used to have program on this particular night. So I would like to make it very clear that it is definitely not farz, wajib, sunnah to have a program on this particular night. Because there are so many differences of opinion with regards to the actual date or the night of Mi'raj, which date it took place. There are many differences of opinion in that. Then again, Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if according to the majority, if the Mi'raj took place in the 10th year of his prophethood, then he lived after that for so many years. The 3 years in Makkah Mukarramah after that, and then the 10 years in Madina Tayyibah. But we don't find anywhere Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inviting the people in the name of Mi'raj, and then they celebrating Mi'raj. So if people get together on this night and we convey some message to them about deen and inform them about what Mi'raj was so that they make islah of their nafs, then it is permissible. But don't argue with people and don't make it an issue if in some masjid there is no program. We must get our aqidah right first. These are the things which later create big problems in the society. So Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we all know that he had many, many miracles to his credit. The largest number of miracles from all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam was given to Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, the miracles of the Anbiya of the past, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his life you will find all those miracles. But the greatest miracle was the Holy Quran Sharif. The greatest miracle, the living miracle. The Mi'raj took place, after that it was over. The splitting of the moon took place, then it was over. But the Quran Sharif is a miracle which will live on till the day of Qiyamah. But after the Holy Quran Sharif, the greatest miracle was this Mi'raj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala invited him. It's not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not in communication with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. 24,000 times Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam visited Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam with messages from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Who could have been so fortunate, a Nabi, to get 24,000 times revelation from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? That your beloved says this, your beloved says that, your beloved says that. So he was in communication with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all the time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was on earth, but his heart was there on arsh. So that was in its place. But this time it was a formal invitation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala invited Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam to see him personally, to visit him personally, to see his countenance. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they get wahi from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they received revelation. But nobody saw Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his naked eyes. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested it. Allah ta'ala cast his tajalli on the mountain, on the tree. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw that, he fell down. فَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِيقًا. He could not see it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was invited by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Inna aradna al-amanata ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali fa abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan innahu kana zaluman jahula. This amanat, the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala presented it to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. Everything refused. Nothing was prepared to accept this amanat. Why they were not prepared to accept it? Because it was not just to receive it and then place it on the shelf and read it in the month of Ramadan, a little bit from here and there, and then shelf it again and make no amal on it. The mountains, the heavens, the earth, they all knew that if we had to accept this amanat, this trust, then we had to make amal on every hukam of the Quran Sharif. If we say that, how would they have made amal? They've got no hands, no eyes, no feet. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have given it to them if they had accepted it. But they were afraid. They did not accept it. Allah ta'ala says man accepted it. But since man accepted it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him the capacity now to make amal on that Quran Sharif. Because he accepted it, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him the capacity, he gave him the understanding, he gave him the ability, the capability to to make amal on it, so that nobody can say until the day of Qiyamah that we accepted this trust but we did not have the ability to practice. It's our weakness. If there is a weakness somewhere, we must acknowledge it as our weakness. Don't find fault with the Quran Sharif and with the teachings of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that it's very difficult to make amal. We must see where did we go wrong. If we have lit up a fire in our home and then we say it's very hot, if we sit near the fire all the time and we say it's very hot, then we blame ourselves for it. Because if there is another air-conditioned room there, then go into the air-conditioned room. So we have created that kind of environment in our homes of filth and evil and vice, and then we say it's very difficult to make amal on the Quran Sharif. It must become difficult because we have created that kind of environment. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this amanah, they refused to accept it. They knew what will be the responsibility if they had to accept it. But since man accepted it, then what did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala do? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. What did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala do? Because man accepted this responsibility, this trust, Allah Ta'ala gave him a very high status, very high position. Allah gave him a position of dignity, of honor. Allah Ta'ala gave him transport over the earth and over sea. Look at the modes of transport that we have in this present day. Allah Ta'ala has provided all that for the sake of man. Don't say that man made all these things and he has provided all the transport. Where can man ever fly a plane and keep it suspended in the air? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who keeps it suspended there. Yes, we make use of the technology and that knowledge of that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to man. He was not born with that knowledge. Which scientist came from the stomach of the mother with the knowledge of all these things? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who gave him that intelligence, gave him that chip in his brains, and after that the man has been able to make all these things. If Allah Ta'ala does not will, then within 35 seconds from 30,000 feet above sea level, an Egypt Air flight can go crashing down and it can land into the ocean and disintegrate within 30 seconds. So it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who keeps it suspended there. One pilot, he accepted Islam. I met him in Jordan. And he said that my acceptance of Islam, the reason for that was that there was an instructor who was a Muslim. But he was a very pious Muslim, a good Muslim. And when he was instructing us how to fly the plane, every now and again he tells us that fuel, this, that, cannot do anything. It is the Creator, the Almighty, who keeps it suspended and who he does this and he does that. And he says, then I tried to fathom what he was trying to get at. And I came to the conclusion that he is right, he is correct. Now if Allah Ta'ala wants to give hidayat, this is how he got his hidayat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, we gave them this type of transport over land, over sea. And we gave them risk of the good things of this earth. Allah Ta'ala gave them risk and sustenance. Eat of all the good things of this world. So many things Allah Ta'ala has provided as risk and sustenance, which is 100% halal. So Allah Ta'ala provided that for man because he accepted this trust. And then he gave him superiority over so much of his creation. So all these things were because he accepted this trust. Now it was known to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that this intelligence that I'm going to give to man, he is going to make progress. He will start flying first at 30,000 feet, then he will put space machines into space at a higher level than that, then he will one day reach the moon, and then he will want to go further than that. So the whole universe was created for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If man went to all those levels, then tomorrow he would have claimed, na'uzu billah, that what does your Rasul know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We went to the moon and came back. We went further than that and we came back. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that level which no human being has ever reached. You have heard many times, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Agar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the entire universe for the sake of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam did not come into this world, there was no universe. So now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed it to mankind that He for whom I created the whole universe, I am going to take Him higher than everyone in the universe. Because everything else is makhluk, and Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam is ashraful makhlukat. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam haseeno mein ahsan, jameelo mein ajmal, kamilo mein akmal. That was Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took him to those heights which no man can ever reach. Then again, if the entire universe was created for Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala wanted to show it to him within a short span of the night. Allah Ta'ala showed him the whole universe. Everything that Allah Ta'ala has created, He showed it to Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so much so that even what is in Jannat and what is in Jahannam. Then again, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was inviting the people towards Islam and towards Deen, when he was inviting the people towards the Quran, and when he was inviting the people towards the Ahkam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, at that time he was telling them that Allah Ta'ala has got great rewards for those people who accept this message. Now outwardly they were suffering, outwardly there was plenty of suffering. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is placed on the hot sand of Makkah Mukarramah. Big stones placed on his chest, and he's being beaten up even in that state. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Take all the Sahaba ikram, the early Muslims, what amount of trials and tribulations and difficulties and hardships they are going through. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling them that if you accept this, Allah Ta'ala will give you this, Allah Ta'ala will give you His nusrat, His help, Allah Ta'ala has got in store for you this and that. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to show him all those ni'mats that he has in store in Jannat for those who have accepted. For those who have accepted. And these people who believed in Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they believed in ghaib. Their iman was not on sight. We would have asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that yes, you went now to Mi'raj and came back, so now show us also from the ground what is in Jannat. But they had iman bil ghaib. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what I saw in Jannat, ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun samiat wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar, that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought also didn't cross anybody's mind, then the Sahabas believed in it that definitely Allah Ta'ala has got those fountains and He's got those gardens and He's got those hoors and He's got those palaces and He's got that gold and silver and He's got that peace and comfort and satisfaction and everything that the heart desires, Allah Ta'ala has got it there. They believed in it. And if Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that those people who disbelieve, those who are rejecting, because they are seeing you in trouble, they are seeing you in trial, they are seeing you in takleef, they are seeing you in all kinds of problems, they are seeing you poverty stricken, they are seeing that your homes are being taken away from you in Makkah Sharif, they are seeing that your gold and silver and properties have been taken away, they are seeing that you are being separated from your wives and children, they are seeing that you are being lashed and punished and all kinds of oppression and tyranny, they are succeeding in that. So they are getting the impression that you have no Allah with you. They are believing that there is no Allah. Because if there was an Allah, then where is that Allah? That is what they are believing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown that in Jahannam, in the fire of hell, this is what is in store for the kuffar, for the mushrikeen, for the disbelievers, and also for the disobedient believers. And they believed that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw with his eyes and came back and informed us of was haq, nothing but haq. So Mi'raj was again at such a time that when the Muslims were in trials, the Muslims were going through difficulties. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken above. Then again, there is great respect when a person is invited in that manner, with 70,000 angels sent down, the Buraq sent with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam as his mode of transport. Allah Ta'ala could have just lifted him up and brought him there. But this was to show the dignity and the honor and the position and the rank of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for whom we have got only just lip service love nowadays. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mi'raj was taking place at such a time. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had passed away. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who does not know what sacrifices she made for the cause of Deen and Islam, Allah, and what love she had for Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All her wealth and everything she sacrificed for this deen of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was a very wealthy widow merchant of Medina, of Makkah Mukarrama. But everything she sacrificed. And then the 3 years that they were ostracized, the 3 years, it's not easy. For us it is just a story. But imagine for 3 years, complete boycott of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his family. No food, no water, nothing. It was not like our prison today, which is sometimes regarded as a hotel, where they get fish curry and they get all kinds of food. And many of them, according to the commander there, many of them, they desire that they remain in there. Because when they go outside, they want to come back inside. 3 solid years. They had to go down to the extent of chewing leather to survive. No food, no water, no milk also for that little babies. At that time to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha did not say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where is that Allah that you are talking about? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I married you, I was enjoying all kinds of comfort and what a life I was having. Where is that promise? After I married you, I'm going through these 3 years of ostracism and boycott. All these things were to separate the believers from the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. These trials that were coming were to separate the true lovers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from those who had nothing but rejection in their hearts. Because if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala immediately gave the Muslims and the believers everything in this world, the moment they accepted Islam, if they started getting garlands around their neck and they started getting bars of gold, then not one person would have remained in Makkah Mukarramah who would have not accepted Islam. Everyone would have accepted Islam the very first day. That this is wonderful, you just accept Islam and Allah Ta'ala sends down man and salwa from the heavens. But when you get a beating and a hiding and a thrashing and a lashing and a smashing, then at that time the people run away. But these Sahaba-e-Kiram, what kind of iman they must have had, that for years they are going through trials, through difficulties, but they are saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is one, Allah is great. So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is taken for Miraj and he is shown what is in Jannat, what is in Jahannam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole universe was created for him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed him the whole universe. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the Hatim. Just to cut it short, because everybody knows the story and so much of literature is now available. Read it in detail in the books that are being distributed. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is brought to the Hatim. He was in the house of Umm Hani, and from there he is brought to the Hatim. But he says that the roof split open and I was taken from the roof. Therefore Allah Ta'ala starts the ayat with Subhan al-Lazi. Subhan, glory be to Allah. In Allah Ta'ala there is no defect, no weakness, no deficiency. Allah Ta'ala is great. He can do whatever He wills. And this was to show Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that just as this roof split open and we took you out from there, very soon your heart will split open. But you don't have to be worried and scared and frightened, because you saw that how the roof, after it split open and you were taken out, again it came into one piece. In the same way we will join that heart again. At that time there were no heart transplants that were taking place everywhere. At present if somebody says, I'm going for a triple bypass, it doesn't worry us so much. We feel inshallah he'll come back safely from there. Because so many people have had transplants and bypasses and alhamdulillah they are fit and healthy now. So we don't get so worried. But imagine the first time that is going to happen. Or something that is very, very different and unusual that he is taken out in that manner. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is brought to the Hatim and there his chest is opened. And the heart is removed. It is washed in the water of Zamzam. Now that is the significant point. Then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam could have brought water from Jannat, he could have brought water from Kausar, he could have brought water from somewhere else, but the water of Zamzam is being used to wash the heart of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, showing what great effect this water has and how sacred and blessed it is. Something that we just consider as ordinary thing when we go for Hajj and Umrah, then the wastage that takes place is unreal. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it easy for us to obtain it there. This water is Mubarak. If we have to discuss, as I said, that there are so many things that we can discuss. If we take this water of Zamzam only and discuss now, we can carry on half an hour. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his heart is washed in the water of Zamzam. And then it is replaced. but it is filled with iman and hikmah. I explained in some other talk that some Orientalists have written that this hadith shows, na'uzu billah, that there was some deficiency with regards to his iman, and that was now filled into him, na'uzu billah. Can you see how misunderstandings or purpose changes and alterations and misleading statements are made? This iman and hikmah does not mean Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzu billah, did not have iman kamil. If he did not have iman kamil, then who else could have had iman kamil? Just in his sohbat and his company, if a person just said one time kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and his eyes only fell on Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not even speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just from a distance he merely saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he became a sahabi. And all the awliya of the world put together cannot reach the stage and rank of the lowest sahabi. Yes, if that was the condition of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's iman, then how can we say that na'uzu billah there was some deficiency? I explained it that we know that in this world we have examples, that there are different kinds of vehicles that we use for transport. And depending on the kind of journey that is being undertaken, the fuel of that kind is filled in there. Refined fuel is required for certain kinds of transport. The aeroplane, you cannot just put ordinary benzene and diesel inside there. Otherwise it won't even take you a little distance. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to take and undertake a journey above the seven heavens. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was conditioning his heart so that he may be able to see with his own eyes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's countenance. That was what it was being filled up for. That Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam could not see. He fell down unconscious. The other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam could not have seen. The believers also, they cannot see with their naked eyes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory and beauty. In Jannat they will be able to see. And when the Sahabas questioned that how will they be able to see there, there are so many people there. He said, don't you see the full moon, the 14th night, the full moon? When you see the full moon, is there any fight and argument between people that I can't see it? You move a little bit from here, you move a little that way. Because you are obstructing me. Is anybody obstructed there? So just as the person sees the full moon, he will see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, what must I do if that poetry comes to mind? Unke rukh se naqaba jutegi, aaj nazaron ki miraj hogi. Unke rukh se naqaba jutegi, aaj nazaron ki miraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Now in the case of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was going to remove that veil and show it to him in the night of Miraj. And all this gham and the pain and the difficulties that he took, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was going to remove it. His iman and hikmah was filled in there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was then taken on the Buraq. I'm cutting it very, very short and just the main points. And he was brought to Masjid Aqsa. The Buraq, whether it is from Barq, because the speed of it was like lightning, whatever it was, but the speed of the Buraq, wherever its gaze fell, that was the range of its steps. Imagine, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created this kind of transport long, long before man put spaceship into the space. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought him over to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now in Masjid Al-Aqsa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Buraq was tied. It was tied on a rock outside. And I explained that there was no need to tie that Buraq. It was brought for Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was with. But because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was still in the world of means, he had not crossed space as yet, he was not gone above the heavens, he was still in the world of means. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was teaching a lesson that we have to adopt the means. When we say make tawakkul on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it does not mean that you reject the means. You tie the camel and then you trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No matter what a beautiful car a person possesses, he could have just driven it out from the garage and it's costing 500,000 rands or a million rands. Because some people are driving properties, whole properties on the road. It costs one point some million cars. So to me it seems as if the whole house is moving, one big house, 1 million rand house. So no matter what quality the car is of and what amount of money the person has paid, but if Allah Ta'ala has provided it and the person is making use of it, then don't trust in the make of the car and in the beauty of the car and in the quality of its parts and the engineering. Don't trust in those things. Trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that if He wills, the person will reach his destination. Otherwise the motor car becomes a moth car. For so many people it becomes a moth car. So don't trust in it. Make use of it, but trust in Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even though it was the Buraq, but as the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tied it. In Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets the 124,000 Nabis. They were all waiting. The azan was given and they were waiting for the Imam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that you are going to lead the prayer. To show to the world that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the Imamul Anbiya. All the Nabis came to the world, but Rasul Pak is Imamul Anbiya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam led the prayers. He was introduced to the different prophets, and thereafter, just to cut everything very short, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Miraj was brought. Now the Miraj was like a lift. How many cars are we going to announce? Islam is then taken on this Miraj to the first heaven. There is a tapping of the door. There's a tapping of the door. Now here again we say, what kind of tapping of the door? All these people fly, they go right up to the moon, there was no tapping, and they go higher than that, there's no tapping. Brothers, this I explained in detail in one of my talks, that if you have to look at the moon, it's only 240,000 miles away from the earth. The sun is only 9,093,000. And if you look at the other stars also, they are a few hundred thousand miles away. But science itself tells us that there are certain stars which are a million miles and billion miles away from the earth. A billion light years away from the earth. One light year, if you have to calculate, it runs into 5 trillion and something. So imagine how long it will take for man to reach those stars. And yet the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars and everything, all the planets, everything is suspended far beneath the first heaven. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not go on to the moon or the sun. He went right up beyond that. So if we cannot understand these things, we must believe in what Rasul Pak said, because we are not talking to disbelievers or atheists or those people who are orientalists or those people who have not accepted Rasul Pak as the truthful Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we are addressing them, then we have to give scientific proofs and evidence and other things. But for believers, we must say amanna wa saddaqna. We must become like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, that when he was told about Miraj, the kuffar, they thought, Abu Jahl especially, he thought that now this is something on which we can catch Rasul Pak out. So he asked him, in fact, that will you repeat the same thing if I have to bring some friends along and your companions? He said, yes, I will. When he went to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an and told him that this is what your friend is saying, that in a short part of the night he went to Masjid al-Aqsa and above the seven heavens and returned. Do you believe in that? He said, are you sure he said that? He said, yes, he did. He said, well, if he said it, then I believe in it. Because I have believed that the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala come with wahi to him right from above the seven heavens, I do not know how many times. So when revelation has been coming to him all the time, what is there if one time Allah ta'ala called him up to him? That was Siddiq. He got the title Siddiq. So we must be like that we must say amanna wa saddaqna. As long as it's an authentic hadith, reliably reported, then we must accept it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on the first heaven there he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam welcomes him. I'm not going into the details why Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first one. But one simple thing is that we all know that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is considered to be our forefather. He is our great-great-great-grandfather. He was the first man that was born. And you have heard, I think, already that this Darwin's theory, when Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, when he was told that you must write a book against Darwin and his theory. He said, why? He says, no, he claims that our ancestors were baboons, chimpanzees, monkeys. So he said, why must I write a book against that? Everyone has got the right to relate himself to whomever he wishes. If someone says that I am the son of a dog, then that's good luck to him. If someone says I'm the son of a donkey, then that's good luck to him. And if Darwin says I'm the son of a baboon and a chimpanzee, then that's his father and grandfather. As far as we are concerned, our grandfather is Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So we will say that our grandfather is Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We say, Darwin, good luck to you. We are very happy that you are the son of Mr. Chimpanzee. Why should we worry? Let him make his claim. Why should we worry? So Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, on the first heaven, he meets him. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam welcomes him. In the second heaven, the same procedure is repeated. Who is with you? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Is he invited? Yes. The door is open and he meets. They say, Marhaba. They welcome him. It was Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now these two people were troubled by the Jews extensively. So much so that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they even claimed that we crucified him. Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. But they tried everything to try and crucify him. They were troubled by the Jews so much. So it was significant that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets them there, because in his time also he was going to be troubled by these people. And up till now the Muslims are being troubled by them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is made to meet them. Then in the third heaven he meets Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also went through so much of difficulties and hardships, so much of problem, so much of trials. He was sold. First, of course, he is thrown out of jealousy, he is put into the well. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given the message that these leaders of the Quraysh, it's not that they don't recognize you. Ya'rifunahu kama ya'rifuna abna'ahum. They knew Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just as they knew their own sons and children. But it was out of jealousy and malice that was in their hearts that they were not prepared to accept him as the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he meets him there. The whole story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes to mind. Or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given that message that just as he was troubled due to jealousy, he was thrown there, so there will be jealousy against you too. And any person who is in the work of deen or whoever is on haqq, and if he is making progress in that field, there will be jealousy and envy. There will be. It is the sunnat of the Ambiya. There will be seher also, jadu also. Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, seher was done on him. There will be mocking, teasing and ridiculing of the Ahlullah and of the Mashayikh. That is common. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got this system. By means of that, Allah elevates the stages even more and more. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is thrown in the well. When he is taken out, then he is sold as a slave. After that, it is Zulaikha who accuses him of, na'uzu billah, trying to commit adultery. He is thrown into the prison. For so many years he is in prison. Now all these difficulties that he is going through, but after that what happens finally? Those same brothers, now they come begging. Now they say that please assist us and help us. When Allah Ta'ala makes him the ruler and the king, he makes him the governor. That means look at those trials that he went through, but now he comes there, those same people who were his enemies, those same people who were jealous and envious, those same people, now Allah Ta'ala brings them to his feet. Allah. And then again, what does Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam say after that? When these brothers ask him for forgiveness, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. No revenge. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown, or is made to meet Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was going to go through all these type of things. So much so that there is even a connection between Zulaikha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that the women of Egypt, when they saw Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's beauty, then they cut their fingers. If they had to see my Rasul, my husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they will cut their hearts. They would have cut their hearts. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he meets Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, the same enemies, after Fatah Makkah, they came and they started pleading for forgiveness Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said exactly the same thing what Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, then we go on, then he meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he meets Hazrat Harun and Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then in the seventh heaven he meets Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. There is a connection in, with meeting each one of this, but it will take a lot of time. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was leaning against the Baytul Ma'mur. And the Baytul Ma'mur, 70,000 angels, only one opportunity they have of making tawaf of the Baytul Ma'mur, which is right above the Kaabatullah. The Kaaba Sharif is on the ground, the Baytul Ma'mur is in the seventh heaven, and 70,000 angels get an opportunity just once. Imagine the junood of Allah, the army of Allah. Nobody can count. Again, there is a connection there, that 70,000 angels get one opportunity of visiting the Baytul Ma'mur and making salat there or making tawaf. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives 70,000 angels only one opportunity each day of visiting the Rauza of Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 70,000 angels each day are visiting the Rauza of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, and they don't get another opportunity. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, from there, he is taken, he goes up to Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says that it is a very, very beautiful tree. It's a low tree that near Sidratul Muntaha. And that tree, the leaves are like the ears of the elephant, and the fruits like earthen pots, huge. And it was shrouded and covered in such beauty that a person cannot describe its beauty. But then that is where Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, now I cannot proceed any further. If I have to go a hair breadth further, I will burn. Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibril kehne lage. Sidratul Muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibril kehne lage. Ya Habibe Khuda ab siwa aapke, Ya Habibe Khuda ab siwa aapke, isse aage jo jayega jal jayega. Ha, Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what rank, what status Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave me? He says, Ya Habibe Khuda, beyond this, whoever will go, he will burn. It is only you that can move further now. So the ruff is brought and he is taken. He is enshrouded with that and he is taken in the presence of Allah. Now we come to that part which we should, even if we have to stay in sajda all our lives and show gratitude to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the favors upon us, we will not be able to do justice. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, in his meeting with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the first thing that he says, التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. Oh Allah, all my oral, monetary, physical ibadat, everything, oh Allah, solely for your pleasure. There was no share in it for anyone else. There was no such thing as shirk in whatever I did. There was no partnership in my amal, that for the pleasure of others I was doing it, to show to others I was doing it. Nothing, there was nothing but sincerity, complete sincerity. The salat was for Allah, the zakat for Allah, fasting for Allah, hajj for Allah. Salatu wasalam, every ibadat of his and everything was solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. This is what is lacking in our ibadat today, in our zikr, in our tilawat, in our dini work, and that is why we are not seeing the fruits. Outwardly we see a lot of movement, we see a lot of things, and a lot of changes, outward changes seems to be coming in our lives. But that true inside change, the changing of the heart, it does not come because we don't have that sincerity in our amal. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he presented everything. He says, everything, O Allah, was for you, and I present everything to you. I mentioned in the last Miraj talk, and it seems as if it was just yesterday, that nobody could have made a better presentation to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in that short span of time as Rasul-e-Pak made. If I had to be told that you will be getting an audience with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and we want you to say within a few seconds, make a presentation, a speech, what could we have said? We couldn't have even thought what to say. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's speech and his presentation. Just three simple little statements or words. At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawat, wa-tayyibat. What a beautiful presentation. If we have to just discuss this one issue, we can go on and on. There's so much in it, brothers. Believe me, there's so much in this, just three things that he has mentioned here. We must take so much of lessons from it. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Allah, whatever I could have done, I have done. Whatever was in my ability to do, I have done. And I did everything for your pleasure. So now see that Allah, how merciful, how kind He is, how grateful He is. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who gives the energy, He gives the strength, He gives the health, He gives the wisdom, He gives the intelligence, He gives the property and He gives the food and drink and everything. But still after that He shows appreciation. Where will we find another Allah like that? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala replied, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Peace be upon you, O my beloved Nabi. Wa rahmatullah, the rahmat of Allah. Wa barakatuh, and Allah ta'ala's blessings. He gave Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala three things, his physical, oral, monetary, ibadat, everything that is in the form of ibadat. And a Muslim, anything that he does, if it is done according to the Quran and Sunnah, it is ibadat. So everything he presented to Allah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, because of that, salamati be upon you. Salamati ho tujhpar. And peace and salam, when we say assalamu alaikum also, what does it mean? It means that may you be safe from all calamities, difficulties, trials, hardships, problems. May Allah Ta'ala give you peace and happiness in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat, until it takes you to Jannat. May you have peace in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at night. And not like good morning, I'm only interested in your morning. In the afternoon, if I meet you again, I'll decide whether I should wish you good afternoon or bad afternoon. Different afternoon, different, and evening, different. The person is giving salamati all the time. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that peace be upon you, the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala upon you, and the barakat of Allah Ta'ala has promised. He gave him three things. And that is exactly what each and every one of us require. What else do we require? Salamati or peace in our lives, in the qabr, in the akhirat. Meaning everything of the best we want. And then we want all the things that we are getting, we want it with rahmat of Allah and the barakat. What is the sense if a person has plentiful, but he can't even eat? There are so many people, they've got plentiful. But the doctor says that you can only take a little bit of gravy, that's all. So they see everybody eating mutton and chicken and fish and everything. They've got 1 billion in the bank, but their food is just a little bit of gravy, that's all. Or some people are on the machines, but they've got everything in the bank. So we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with barakat and with rahmat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatul lil alameen, and he knew that what difficulties the sahaba ikram were also going through, what Hazrat Bilal and the others were going through, and what the ummah will go through till the day of qiyamah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not forget us at that height. If a person is a friend of someone, and after a little while then he gets some position and post, and then he becomes a cabinet minister or some king or ruler, then he forgets all those friends. Now his own friends have to make appointment. And that too they cannot see him after that, until his secretary has passed it. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, right there he is saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Salamati ho hum par, peace upon us, and on all your righteous servants. Now this is the condition, that if we want those three things, we want the salamati, salam, we want rahmat, and we want barkat. And who does not want it? Everybody wants it. All of us, we are in need of it 24 hours of the day. Peace, security, rahmat, barkat, all these things we are in need of. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that, oh Allah, I don't want to just keep it for myself. I want that it must be distributed over mankind until the day of Qiyamah. This salamati, this rahmat, and this barkat. But for which people? For those who are salihin. For those who are from your righteous servants. That means those people who are restraining themselves from haram. And those people who are doing those things that are pleasing to you. Then there is a guarantee, because this guarantee came from above. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely give that person these three things. Don't look at the outward conditions. We say that some awliya-i-kiram and ahlullah, they are going through so much of pain in their bodies, and they've got no money in their pocket, and they are living in the huts. Those are all outside conditions. Allah ta'ala gives it inside. Allah ta'ala gives it inside. So these three things if we want, then there is no other way out but to become righteous and to become pious. To make an effort at least to give up those sins of our lives. We don't want to give up sins, and we want rahmat too, we want barkat too, and we want Allah Ta'ala's maghfirat too, we want to do we want everything, and we want peace also. We are making du'as for peace, we're making du'as for happiness, du'as for barkat, du'as for rahmat. And Allah Ta'ala says, yes, I want to give it to you, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed for you also. But then he also put one condition there, and that is that you must be from the salihin. You must do the righteous deeds. Now this is again another subject that we can go on talking, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then, or when this was said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, then, Ashhadu, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who heard this, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, he said. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the gift of the five namazes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was given certain ayats of the Quran Sharif, the last verses of Surah Baqarah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was then given so much that we cannot even imagine what he was given. Allah ta'ala says, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to reveal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, everything was given to him. We can imagine what Allah ta'ala must have given to him on that night. But imagine that all other things, all other ahkam were revealed in this world. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the fasting laws, the zakat laws and hajj laws and everything. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came onto the earth and gave it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But namaz, it is such a thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam right up, because it was something that would have made this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wasta'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help with salat and with patient perseverance. The salat was mirajul mu'mineen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's heart was washed with the water of zamzam. We are told, wash your hands and feet before you come and make namaz with the water of the world. But get out of this world after, just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got out of this world and went above the seven heavens, then when you make Allahu Akbar also, then get out of all the material things. In your namaz, don't just keep thinking of that same business, that same wife and those same children and the same sporting activities and all the same kalya and biryani that you're going to eat over the weekend in some wedding or walima. When you are Allahu Akbar, then just forget all those things. Say one person in his namaz, when the Imam Sahib made a mistake, so the Imam Sahib made a mistake, he read three rakats instead of four rakats. The Imam thought it was four rakats. So one person was very certain. He says, no, definitely you read three rakats. He says, the whole congregation says I read four, and you sing, you so certain. He says, well, Isha namaz, when you make Allahu Akbar, I've got four businesses. In the first rakat, then I go around my first business. In the second rakat, I do my second one. In the third rakat, the third one. Before I could come to the fourth rakat, fourth business, you've made salam. So I'm certain that you made three rakats. Now that kind of namaz, what do we expect with that kind of namaz? Or two people, one was a new Muslim and one was an old Muslim like us. So the old Muslim, he taught this new Muslim how to make namaz. So when this new Muslim made Allahu Akbar, then now he's reading nicely, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So it took him time to read his sunnah and he came outside. So it took a bit of time. So this person asked him, he says that, why did it take you so long? Or the new Muslim asked him that, how is it that you finish so quick? He says, don't worry, when you become an old Muslim, you'll read just like me too. At present you are a new Muslim, but when you become old, you'll read just like me too. So brothers, that is not namaz. In namaz, our heart must be connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is miraj of the believers. When we are putting our head on this, in sajda, then we must believe that we have put our forehead at the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then we will get some noor in our hearts. But that namaz in which we are just chasing, we just watch some television program or we run from the football field or cricket field or somewhere, and since namaz is far, so we have to make it, so Allahu Akbar, but we want to dash back to the same program, then na'uzu billah, that is a mockery of namaz. But still we should not give up that namaz in whatever state it is. Improve the quality of that namaz, don't give it up. But don't be satisfied that that namaz can do everything. And but those who don't make namaz at all, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that just one salat, if a person leaves out purposely, one salat, he has committed kufr. And these are the words of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I explained in some talk that Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi and Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, whose name we take with such love and respect, because indeed he was the wali of all walis, but he followed Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's mazhab, and that is his mazhab, is found in his kitabs, that if a person is found neglecting his salat, purposely is neglecting his salat, he just sleeps, unconcerned, rises after the sun has risen. Or this person, due to sporting activities and some other business activities, just ignores the salat. Then he says, don't make his janaza salat. He has committed kufr, don't even bury him in a Muslim graveyard. That is the fatwa of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. Check it up in his kitabs. We must be grateful that Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said that the word kufr there means that this person is committing an act very similar to that which the kuffar do. The kuffar don't make namaz, so this person is not making too. So he gave us a way out. But he too said, arrest them and put them into prison if they are missing namazes. Just imagine if Islamic law had to be applied now in South Africa, Fajr time, if everybody had to be rounded up, those who didn't make namaz, our prisons would have been very, very small today. Shows what importance was placed on this salat. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is calling it kufr, and those people who combine the two salats, they say, no, I'm a big namazi, but what I do is Zohar namaz, Asar namaz, Maghrib namaz, after I come back from my shop, then I make all three together. So he said that person has entered a major door of kabair, a door of major sin, if he combines his two namazes without any valid reason. So namaz, read the fazail of namaz by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. It will light up our hearts and give us the interest in reading our namaz with khushu and khuzu. There are so many incidents in there. But there's no time again. As I mentioned in the beginning, that this is one subject that if you take one item, you can carry on. Now say if I have to speak on namaz, now I can go on for 1 hour at least, inshallah. So let us make namaz with jamaat, the men folk, in the masjid. We all say, our masjid. When the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara, or the enemies of Islam, they destroy and bombard a masjid, then at that time the world of Islam will say, our masjid. Indeed, that's a sign of iman that we've got contact with our masjid. But where are the musallis in that masjid throughout the year? Go to most of the areas outside and see what is the condition in summer months. Sometimes it is just the muazzin who is giving the iqamat, the azan and the namaz. Wallah, without a word of lie, I've been to places where sometimes it is just the muazzin. He is the muazzin, he is the imam, there's nobody else. You ask the muazzin, is there anybody else you waiting for? He said, no. Now that you are here, carry on, make the namaz. Otherwise, generally, it's only myself here. And hundreds of people are living in that area, near the masjid also. Azan rahi, ruhi bilali na rahi, falsafa raha, talqin ghazali na rahi, masjid marsiya khahe ke namazi na rahe, yani wo sahib-e-ausaf-e-hijazi na rahe. So these masjids, we are the ones who will have to make it abad. We do not expect the enemies of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come into the masjid. So make a little effort. That is all that is required. We are making that effort for everything else. If a person is told that if you have to get up 3 o'clock in the morning and go to the beachfront and take some goods and sell there, then you will get a lot of customers there at that part of the morning. Then those people who are heavy sleepers, and they say that nothing can get us up, even if you put 10 alarms, it cannot shake us up. But there we do not know which alarm gets them up when they are there early in the morning. Why? Because the person believes that I will get something in return. And it is not haram, I'm not talking about anything being haram. If the person is going there also and then making his namaz there and all that, alhamdulillah, very good. But I'm talking about those people who say that we cannot get up for Fajr. Why is it that a little bit of material benefit can get us up so quickly? When we have to catch a flight at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, all of us are at the airport long before the flight time. At that time we forget that there is such a thing as sleep. So the azab of akhirat, the azab of Jahannam, cannot it shake us up? And look at the, what Allah Ta'ala gives to the person in return. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now which angle are we going to go? But let us just conclude it now with a few incidents that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown in Miraj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that people were having their heads smashed with rocks, and after some time it comes back as normal. Again it is smashed. It just goes on and on. As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that these are the people of your ummah whose heads used to get very heavy at the time of namaz. At namaz times they used to find it like a big burden now that we have to make namaz. There were people who had huge bellies, and inside there were snakes which could be seen from the outside, that huge snakes just moving around in that belly. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam questioned Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that these are the people of your ummah who take interest. Interest on loans they used to take. This is the saza and punishment in the akhirah. They used to fill their bellies with nothing but snakes. That is what they were putting inside. They thought that they were making a profit. That interest they thought was profit. Remember, if Allah Ta'ala has declared it haram and he said that you must prepare yourself for war with Allah Ta'ala, there is no ayat in which Allah Ta'ala gave this kind of ultimatum that you must prepare for war with Allah Ta'ala if you are going to take interest. Now can anybody go into war with Allah Ta'ala? Look at the lives of those that are taking it. Outwardly you may see a lot of things, but ask them what is the internal condition and what kind of respect do they have in society. It is the blood of the people that you are sucking. There are so many people that checks are being discounted. 15%, 20%. A poor person tells me, he says, Maulana, after working very, very hard, I make 5% or 7% profit on the items. Because it's so difficult, economic times. I make 7, 5, 6% or 10% sometimes on the items. And then that person gives me a check. And he makes it post-dated after 3 months' payment. I take it and go to a certain Muslim brother. And he says 15%. He says, I have no other choice. What must I do? I want some cash. So I give it to him. Isn't this blood-sucking? How can such people sleep? What kind of conscience do they have? So Allah Ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, this is the punishment. Brothers, I am not afraid and scared to tell you what is the truth. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Summa Alhamdulillah. I don't have my sight or my gaze on any person's pocket or on any person's wealth or property. Allah Ta'ala must make me die in that state that my gaze is only on Allah Ta'ala's khazana and treasures. But I want to tell you that if we have been indulging in these things, then now it's time to restrain. How many more bayans do we require? How many more shake-ups do we require? Aren't we seeing what is happening around the world? Didn't we see what happened in Turkey and in Taiwan, and what is happening to the plains and what's happening to the earth here and there, and the gale force winds and the cyclones and all the disasters? Do we want to wait for such a kind of shake-up? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he saw people, men and women, waves of fire. They rise and they go down, they rise and they go down. So these are the people who are committing adultery and fornication in your ummah. When the person is committing zina, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. Even that iman leaves him at that time. When he's committing zina, imagine if at that time the building has to crush him down. If at that time that earth has to shake. If at that time that gale force wind has to destroy. If at that time suddenly he has to get a heart attack, then what would be his condition? They said that these are the people who used to commit zina. And in another report, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that there was one side, very nice, pleasant, fragrant smelling, delicious meat, and on the other side, decaying, rotten, filthy meat. And these people, the angels were thrusting this filthy, dirty, rotten, decaying meat down their throats. They were screaming and shouting, but they were made to eat it in the force, and it was going on and on. So that these are the people who had wives who were halal for them. They left their halal wives and they went and go and commit adultery or fornication, adultery with haram women. They were visiting those prostitute quarters, and they were going to the escort agencies, and they were going to all these haram places. So this is their punishment in the akhirat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown that a person has got a huge pile of wood on his head and he cannot carry it. He's being pressed down with that weight, but he is still wanting to take more and more. He is told that these are the people who were trustees of different institutions or different persons, but they couldn't do justice to it. They couldn't do justice to it. The amanats that they were taken, they couldn't do justice, but still they wanted to take more and more and more. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that people, their lips were being cut with scissors of fire. He was told that these are the people, in one report, that they are the khatibs of your ummah, those who used to create fitna and division by their fiery speeches and make the ummah fight. Said these are the people. And in another report, that these are the people who used to not practice on what they were preaching. What they used to invite others towards, they were not practicing it on themselves. So this is their punishment in the akhirah. And there are so many other things that he was shown. There is no time to go into all those details. But what we learn from all those things is this, that if we want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat, Allah's mercy, Allah's closeness, Allah's forgiveness, and if we want a life of peace and happiness and satisfaction and contentment and tranquility and serenity and joy in this world and in the akhirah, then we have to give up sins from our lives. How many umrahs are we going to still keep on making? How many more hajj do we have to keep on making? How much more zikr and tilawat is required? How much more of ibadat is required before we will give up sins? So this Miraj, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that this is what I saw in Jannat, this is what I saw in Jahannam. Now if we are believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then we must believe in it. And we have to take that pain on our heart. We cannot get away with it. We cannot get away with it. Accidental sins, yes, repeatedly I say. Accidental sins, we will make slip, we'll fall, we'll err. We are human beings. Accidental sins make plenty of tawbah, plenty of istighfar. But how long are we going to wait to make sincere tawbah? Because at the time of tawbah, we must have no intention of returning to those sins. Again, after that, the person slipped and fell in the gutter, get up quickly and go to the bathroom, change, have a shower, apply perfume and ether, but don't purposely go and sleep again in the gutter there. So we are all sinful servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but Allah ta'ala has got the doors of tawbah open and He wants us to return to Him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam therefore informed us what is in store in Jannat for those who are believers, those who make tawbah from their sins, those who turn towards Allah ta'ala. So don't despair of the mercy of Allah ta'ala. Allah is forgiving, He is merciful, He is kind. He wants us to turn towards Him. And especially in these days of fitna, when fitnas are pouring, just a little turning towards Allah Ta'ala and He draws us towards Him. He gives us so much of encouragement after that, via dreams and other things, but He gives us encouragement to go ahead and shows us that you are on the right track. He creates in the heart that tranquility and peace, and the person believes after that, that yes, I am on the right track. After that, again, accidental sins will make tawbah. But to purposely go on shaving and shaving and shaving, how are we going to face Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? So whatever sin it is, we must not look down upon anybody, but just think that that Rasul of Allah, who did not forget us right there, but he made one condition. Now if we want peace and happiness, there is no other way out. Taweezers are not going to block all our problems. Taweez is just an aid, it is just a means. But we want all solutions to our problems through taweezes. Just tie one tawi is finished. Allah Ta'ala's azab and bala will never come after that in that home. Keep on watching all the filth inside there. Read all the filthy literature. I mentioned it in my talk also. I've got letters in my possession. Just one film. And it was a cartoon film. And that young girl from the Orient, she says that after seeing that film, it agitated my heart. And I don't know why. My mother is such a lovely woman, such a wonderful woman. But I just get this urge to throttle her all the time. And I've got a letter in my possession. Wallah, I'm telling you that this young person, and I've got quite a few like this, not one, but this particular one, now this is because he mentions the TV there. He says that I saw a certain film. Maulana, I attended your majlis, your program for the first time on a certain date. And therefore now I want islah of my nafs. He says that I want to come and build up some contact with you. And then he relates that incident. He says that I saw a certain film. And after that film, I've got such hatred for my father that I just want to shoot him. If I can help it, I will shoot him while he's sleeping. And I don't know for what reason, but every time that I see my father, and my father hasn't done anything to me. He says, but I just want to shoot him. I want to kill him. So brothers, are we going to wait for our children to shoot, kill, murder? And we don't know what is the connection. Don't ask what is the connection. If a person says that if you've got a magnet, then why is it that if I have nails, that magnet will draw it and pick it up? When we were little children, we used to go and sit by the shoemaker, and we used to take his magnet and run it around those nails and enjoy how it picks up the nails. Now if somebody has to ask that what is the connection between that magnet and that metal that it draws that, and if I put it over wood, it doesn't draw, then you can give me all your scientific explanation, but you cannot really say exactly why. Why has the metal got that that magnet has got that sifat and not something else? Why is the flower, the rose flower, fragrant? Why is it that that same fragrance is not in the sunflower? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got different sifats and qualities in different things. Why is it that the sugar cane is sweet and the bamboo stick, there's no sweetness in there? If somebody says the bamboo stick and the sugar cane look the same, so therefore I'm going to chew bamboo stick, what will we think of that person? And yet you plant the same thing, plant the bamboo stick there, and next to that plant the sugar cane. And then dig up the earth, the same ground, the same water, the same earth. What is it that the sweetness came into the sugar cane and no sweetness came into the bamboo stick? So like that, there is also this contact that certain things you see and it creates this kind of agitation. And the first effect it has is on our ibadat, on our zikr, on our tilawat. That there's no lazzat left in it, no enjoyment left in it. That is why people say, I'm not getting any enjoyment, any lazzat, any happiness. Why? How can it come when we do not want to give up sins? And that is the area that we are the least concerned. Pagaya, pagaya. Hazrat says, he says that just making zikr, tilawat, ibadat is not sufficient. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chod de. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chod de. It is necessary. Asl hijrat nahi, sirf tarke watan. Just giving up your watan is not real hijrat. You have to give up sins also. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the barakat of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's miraj, forgive each and every one of us and give us the tawfiq to do those things that are pleasing to Him, and distance ourselves from all those things that are displeasing to Him. Because then only we will be able to enjoy rahmat, peace, barakat. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was promised and whatever he was given as a gift by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will be given that. It's a guarantee. But this is the condition. May Allah ta'ala make us all salih. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zolamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna ala nakunanna minal khasirin. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما, ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما, ہمارے ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے معاف فرما, صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطا ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. او اللہ, forgive our major sins and minor sins, forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. O Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands, of our feet, of our heart and mind. اے میرے پیارے خدا, اے میرے رحیم کریم اللہ, ہم گنہگار ہیں, ہم سیاہکار ہیں, ہم گندے ہیں, ہم ناپاک ہیں, ہم سب کچھ ہے لیکن بندے تیرے ہیں. اے اللہ, تو معاف کرنے والا خدا ہے, تو بخشنے والا خدا ہے. یا اللہ, یو ریئلی لو فورگیونیس آف سینس. یا اللہ, وی آر سیکنگ فورگیونیس. او مائی اللہ, اور لائف وچ ہیز میلٹڈ اوے, وی کی ناٹ برنگ بیک اے سنگل سیکنڈ فرام دیٹ لائف. But the life which we still remains in us, O Allah, only you know how much of it is left. Whether it is a second or a year or 10 years, only you know. Ya Allah, whatever life is left, give us the tawfiq to do those things which are pleasing to you. And give us the tawfiq to stay away from everything that you and your beloved Rasul Rasm have declared as haram. Ey mere pyare khuda, ہم جان بوجھ کر گناہ کرتے رہے, جان بوجھ کر تیرے احکام کو ٹھکراتے رہے. اے اللہ, purposely we have been violating all your احکام. Oh Allah, we have been committing sins day and night. Ya Allah, but we are making tawbah. And you dearly love those people who make tawbah. Ya Allah, draw us towards you with your power of jazb. Ya Allah, hum sab ko apna bana de. Ya Allah, jo bimar hai, unko shifa ata farma. Those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. We are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. Ya Allah, give us cure from all our ailments and sicknesses and diseases. Our parents, if they are sick and ill, give them cure from their sicknesses and ailments. Our brothers and sisters who are in hospitals or ill at home, Ya Allah, cure them all. Ya Allah, cure everyone who is sick and ailing in the ummat of Nasibiyye Paak, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, those who are in financial difficulties and worries, give them plenty of halal risk and sustenance and get them out of their difficulties. Those who have got no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. And those whom you have blessed with children, Ya Allah, make them righteous, make them pious, make them obedient to you and obedient to your Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and obedient to their parents. Ya Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, those who have got young daughters and they are concerned about the marriages of their daughters, Ya Allah, bless their daughters with good, righteous partners in life. Ya Allah, those young boys also who are seeking good marriage partners, Ya Allah, bless them with partners who will be an aid and an assistance to their deen. اے اللہ, جتنی پریشانیاں, مصیبتیں, بلائے آ رہی ہیں, اس کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے دور فرما. یا اللہ, the Muslims of Chechnya, the Muslims of Palestine, the Muslims of Bangladesh, the Muslims of other parts of the world, wherever, oh Allah, the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is suffering, Ya Allah, send them your help and your assistance and your nusrat. Remove all the difficulties and problems. Those enemies of yours who have made up their minds that they are not going to accept Islam, and they will create obstacles and problems for the Muslim Ummah, and they will torture the Ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'aza minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arham ar-rahimin.